I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, what is up and welcome to Die, because that was a really good suggestion we had from last week. It's me, Ewan, from What Culture Gaming, joined for this week's Splash Pixel, yes, I'm making it a thing, by Josh Broward. How are you doing, Josh?
I'm doing alright, thank you, Ewan. I'm doing even better after that intro, to be honest. That was spectacular.
It's life affirming. It's sensational, amazing, and ultimate. There we go. Other Spider-Man things. That's a bit misleading because we're not talking about Spider-Man today, even though we did consider it. I actually want to talk to you today, Josh, about the X-Men, because there was a little cool little Marvel's Avengers thing that got released towards the end of last week. We got to see Kamala Khan's bedroom. It had like all the cool fan art of, like, we got to see our first look at Captain Marvel because, like, she's on the poster there. They kind of had a sneaky hint towards Hawkeye, and I'm actually getting very excited towards that game. But it got me thinking of how when we were growing up in the early noughties, that's either going to make people feel very young or very old. I can't tell which at the moment. The X-Men were the biggest things. Now, during the early 2000s, Marvel's biggest, most popular characters with Spider-Man and the X-Men. The Avengers, apart from, you know, comic book readers themselves, didn't have any mainstream appeal whatsoever. Iron Man was seen as like a B-tier character. Captain America was erroneously, you know, miscast as like a patriotic, you know, jingoist man who was completely irrelevant to today's, you know, current zeitgeist or whatever. And it was all wrong, obviously. And then obviously the Avengers came along in 2008, 2012 and basically changed that and, you know, really pushed Marvel into focusing on those characters. Whereas, you know, the X-Men and Spider-Man kind of didn't fall to the wayside necessarily, but they have kind of been usurped in terms of popularity. It's an interesting thing there, looking at, you know, the way studio politics and how all the stuff from the 90s regarding Marvel nearly going bankrupt has kind of fundamentally altered the way the company is perceived and you know, in terms of ranking characters based on popularity, which I found quite interesting. But I also today want to talk about X-Men Legends, because to me, when I think of my happy days loving the X-Men, pretending to be Wolverine and growling at fellow children in the playground and pretending as though I had knives in my hands, X-Men Legends always comes to mind, as well as the X-Men Evolution cartoon, which is better than the 90s one.
That's an outrageous claim, that, Ewan.
I mean, mate, just go back. You'll know. You'll know the truth.
Listen, I dug X-Men Evolution when I was younger, but I mean, like, you know what? I judge shows primarily, as of now, by their theme tune. And it's got to be the 90s X-Men animated series. If we're judging purely on that quality.
Yes. Yeah, true. I mean, but yeah, also they had, X-Men Evolution had cool goth Rogue.
And you're not wrong. Gothification of the X-Men. Yeah, I could probably do a dissertation on it, to be honest. I might go back to uni and do me masters on that. But yeah, man, like, X-Men Legends holds a similar kind of place in my heart that I'm sure it does for you as well. Because yes, this was one of the Marvel games growing up because it was excellent. But also, we talked last week about, you know, about how Spider-Man 2000 was kind of, you know, it was like an entry point into the Marvel universe. And I thought X-Men Legends was as well, especially for someone like me who had watched the X-Men movies, had dabbled in some of the comics, but a lot of the wider characters were kind of unknown. You know, they weren't people that I was even fond of. You know, when you're growing up, you latch onto the most popular characters. So for me, it was, you know, it was Wolverine, it was Storm, it was Jean Grey, it was stuff like that. And some of the more interesting but more overshadowed heroes and villains fell to the wayside. But X-Men Legends 1 and 2 pushed probably everyone to the forefront. And even if you couldn't play as them, they were involved. You got, you know, tidbits of comic backstories. You got, you know, the original story that was created and kind of adapted from some arcs in the actual games themselves. So it was like this great entry point for, you know, this dense superhero world. It also fun as hell because you got to mix and match those heroes. You weren't forced into a specific team. You could, you know, mix your faves with, you know, new characters that you weren't as aware of, and that helped bolster the team and put them all on equal footing, I found.
Yeah, exactly. And there's another thing about X-Men Legends, which is, you know, even though the games were very positively received, I feel as though when Raven did Marvel Ultimate Alliance, which is held as the coup de grace of like Marvel co-op titles, and quite rightly, because it encompasses so many different facets of the Marvel universe, and it is kind of the zenith of those dungeon crawly RPG games, I do feel as though X-Men Legends has kind of been forgotten about or overlooked as a result. And like you said, the whole aspect of like customizing your team and doing whatever, that was so well integrated. And there was I thought it was always interesting how it wasn't necessarily a rock, paper, scissors mechanic going on there. But I loved the way, as opposed to other dungeon crawlers, not that I've played too many, but it did really make you feel like you had to collaborate with your fellow. If you were playing co-op, you really had to think about which members of your team you were bringing with you, how you managed your resources. There were so many occasions in that game where I accidentally spammed all the health potions and just ended up like dying, and everyone else would kind of blame me because I used too much health or whatever. It was like, it was such a clever game, and it probably unfairly gets typecast as this kind of generic button mashing dungeon crawler, but there was a lot of thought that went into the gameplay and the story as well. Like you said, it was such a great resource growing up. Obviously I watched the cartoons, and I dabbled in a few of the comics as well, even though they were a little bit dark at the time because it was the Ultimate Universe, and everything in the Ultimate Universe was super dark and grim. But you know, it was such a great resource. I remember going and playing that first game and getting to roam around the X Mansion and chat with Jubilee and like Nightcrawler, and then you'd have flashback missions which would be like, you know, ripped from classic X-Men comics. So you had the original appearance of the Juggernaut, where you've got to stop him like tearing through the X-Mansion. You had the first appearance of the Sentinels and everything, and the amount of just craft and dedication, and so much went into that game. It was like they took the disc and marinated it in all the 70s 80s and 90s Chris Claremont and John Byrne comics, and then undunked it like 30 years later and was like, here we go, this is the game now, enjoy.
That's like the extra thing that, to be fair, to its credit, Marvel Ultimate Alliance had some of it as well, but you know, it felt like it's not just a dungeon crawler with X-Men characters and that's the hook. It's like, you know, yeah, that's kind of like the basis of the gameplay, but it does have those extras and that kind of additive quality to it. The fact that you can roam around the X-Mansion and do danger room missions and stuff like that added an extra kind of sense of love and, I guess, exploration to it. The fact that you could uncover these histories. I'm pretty sure it's in X-Men Legends as well as Ultimate Alliance, but I'm sure there was like a trivia game as well.
Yes,
the where trivia. You could test your knowledge, which, to be honest, is probably partly how I ended up with a job at What Culture You, and because that was the only way I could get X-Men trivia back in the day, was playing these games and getting it wrong and then having to bluff my way through. But you mentioned the gameplay there. Like, that's something that I just completely overlooked, and I went back to play X-Men Legends, the original, about 2 years ago at this point when I got a PlayStation 2 again.
Pretty hard.
I mean, it's, I remember deceptively being hard.
When I was very young, I remember playing it with my dad and then getting upset that I couldn't get past the first bit.
You're absolutely right when you talk about, you know, you have like your health potions and stuff. Like, your characters will be knocked unconscious and you won't be able to use them, and you'll find yourself in tough situations where you're one guy left and you're just fighting off against all of these goons. You really have to think about, you know, the powers you were using, the setup of your team, the strengths and weaknesses, which sounds quite, like you said, like when you look at these games from kind of an outsider's point of view, they look like these brainless button mashers where you're going through these nice levels.
Button bashers is a great
button bashers is what I said there. You're going through these like lush levels, but you're not really paying attention. It's kind of like a turn your brain off game. But that's not what they were. They demanded more from you. And I think that made you, weirdly enough, made you care about these characters more, because I would find myself swapping in people who were, you know, what I thought were core elements of the team from a gameplay perspective, but then I found myself liking them as characters, and that would, you know, follow on. The biggest reason I like Cyclops today is because of X-Men Legends. Like, the movies did nothing for me. Even the comics that I read at the time did nothing for me, but Cyclops was my boy in X-Men Legends, and that has stayed with me.
Cyclops is good, actually, is the take I'm here for, because I kind of thought he was a bit of a stick in the mud, but you know, there are so many different stories that kind of go in, like, you know, do something interesting with him. And that's another interesting point you raised there, is that this game, to me, when I was growing up, it was all Wolverine, 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 Wolverine. I got to enjoy Nightcrawler in this game. And I remember I wasn't allowed to watch X-Men 2 when this game came out, not yet, because there's the really gruesome bit at the end where Lady Deathstrike gets melted to death with, or drowned to death in adamantium. But I got to enjoy Nightcrawler in this, and especially in X-Men Legends 2 when they added in the swords as well. I was like, he's this swashbuckling German demon that can teleport everywhere. That's the coolest thing ever. Yeah, it was just that aspect of it. You know, we talk about these games being gateway points or entry points. That's probably unique to people who were, you know, growing up at the same time as these games. It won't be the same thing for everyone. But I do have to commend those developers and writers and everyone who worked on those titles, because they formed as vital a role as the comics and the films in terms of serving as introductions to those characters. Also, just want to say, the Morlock level can eat poo and die. I hated that level so much. It was so difficult. Literally, every single cousin, I'd go up to visit my cousin in Scotland, and we get to that bit at X-Men Legends and just give up because it was so hard. It was so difficult. The Morlocks, man. Oh, get a life.
Dude, like, I used to play it with my brother, and he was younger than me, obviously, and he was crap. He was an absolute liability. I would be better than him. And every time we got to something difficult like that, it was just useless. I feel like that's why we didn't like each other for a long time. That's where that rivalry came from. He wasn't as good at games as I was. Yeah. But it's funny, like, when I was going back to it, like, it's difficult, like you said, and like the way the levels are designed, like, I found myself feeling like a bit of an idiot, because I've become so accustomed with how modern games hold your hands and how they funnel you through levels, that when I was going back to this, like, I was getting lost. I was getting killed, and I wasn't having as much fun as I used to have, to be fair, but it's just because the way it was constructed is so kind of different and a bit more challenging than, you know, games are now. But you mentioned Nightcrawler. This was a title, X-Men Legends 1, X-Men Legends 2, was when I properly fell in love with Nightcrawler and Gambit, who I thought absolutely excellent. Like, yeah, you talk about, like, pushing up characters who weren't getting their due in the movies well until X-Men 2 came around.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Nightcrawler. But yeah, like those kind of characters, like I was saying before, maybe fall in love with a side of the Marvel Universe that I might not have otherwise.
Mm, yeah, exactly. I think, you know, one of the best things about that is that even though every single dialogue, apart from the great cinematics that were done by Blur, I don't think they did the cinematics for the first game. I know they definitely did it for X-Men Legends 2. But in terms of, you know, even if you'd be interacting with the characters in this game, you'd be walking up to them and they'd have big blocky hands and, you know, poorly defined faces and you'd be talking to them or whatever. But the voice acting was great and the dialogue was really good as well. And, you know, we had Patrick Stewart reprise his role as Professor X in these games. This X-Men Legends is the first time that Steve Blum actually voiced Wolverine, and he's kind of gone on to be synonymous with the character. He's voiced him in so many different things, and that in itself is really, really cool. And yeah, the voice that Cree Summer played Magma as well, I believe. So yeah, there's like all sorts of like really, you know, like prestigious television, TV, movie actors that came together to star in this game and ended up, you know, it's got quite a sizable legacy, which I find quite impressive. And like you say, you know, we talk about it being a good resource. Part of that is because the story itself is really good. And, you know, the actual Raven brought in a bunch of different old Marvel writers. I believe Joe Kelly, Joe Casey, and a few others who were involved in the X-Men comics in the late 90s were actually involved in crafting the story, which pulls all sorts of different inspirations from old classic X-Men comics. So you have like the Asteroid M situation going on, you have the Sentinels. And there was that weird thing as well that always confused me when I was little, was that they were always wearing their Ultimate X-Men costumes. You know, we talk about the Ultimate Universe now and everyone's like, ah, but back then it was like the biggest thing. It was almost bigger than like the actual main Marvel comics. But they had the Ultimate X-Men costumes, but then the traditional Marvel backstories, I remember that just completely bamboozling me when I was younger. I was like, what?
No, me too. It's funny you mentioned, like, obviously it's heavily influenced by, like, especially the design of the Ultimate Universe. Mm. But for me growing up, the Ultimate Universe was the coolest thing ever. I didn't want to read those old fuddy-duddy, you know, classic comics.
I wanted Mark Miller and Bendis.
Yeah, give me Mark Miller, give me Bendis. Give me dark leather over the daft bright costumes. Funnily enough, now that I've grown older, I've done the exact inversion of that.
Exactly.
Back in the day, definitely spurred on, you know, by the X-Men movies. That was so in vogue. And yeah, I think they did make quite a good decision to not only, you know, facilitate new and like newcomers to the Marvel Universe to jump on board with this game, but like you said, for people who are older, there are those touch points. There's like, you know, the birth of the Sentinels in this game, there's Asteroid M, like you said, there are those kind of like storylines and threads that would be identifiable to someone who has read the comics and yet acts as a kind of curiosity jumping point for someone who's just getting to used to them. Like, it touches upon, even the second game as well, actually, touches upon like so much from the X-Men.
Genosha, the Savage
canon.
Lands.
Yeah. And you've got like, again, all those great resources in the game that provide the text backstory for them to allow you to understand what's going on. It doesn't treat you kind of like an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing as well. It's like, as a comic book fan, the X-Men, even though I've loved them my entire life, I've always found it difficult to kind of get into them because, you know, during the zenith of their popularity in the 90s, there was so much continuity. There was so much that got, you know, picking up an X-Men comic like 20 years ago was like jumping into episode 500 of EastEnders with no clue who the characters were or what they were doing. So like, you know, it was a massive soap opera with so many intricate different things and retcons and whatever. But this game, even though it kind of put you in the deep end, it gave you the resources to navigate it well enough, which I will always appreciate, because that then gave me a decent enough footing. You know, instead of, you know, starting like 6 foot in the pool, I was actually, you know, I had some like armband, those goofy armbands on, and I was in there just straddling, just trying to find the stuff that I really wanted.
You're totally right. Like, you mentioned the comics there, and obviously I'm not going to make this comparison and say this is why the games are better than the comics, but the trouble I have, and trouble I had and still have now is sometimes like getting intrigued by a story arc that people are raving about and wanting to jump in, but then finding myself instantly overwhelmed. And yeah, the comics do have those little things where it gives you a quick, you know, flash of context and a quick bit of backstory, and it points you to other issues that you should read. But it's still quite overwhelming now if you want to kind of try and find an entry point. And it was at the time for X-Men. I remember trying to pick up even some Ultimate comics like midway through the run and just having no idea what was going on.
Pretty bad, like after 2005, like that
so
was like the everyone got drowned and then Cyclops melts Magneto's face off, and
yeah,
oh man, the Ultimate Universe What a time. It was such a great thing that they had. Like, it could have just been Spider-Man and the Ultimates, the actual, you know, the Avengers Ultimates thing. And then they had everything else, and it just kind of got very weird. It kind of cannibalized itself in a very weird way. We're going a little bit off topic now, but it was very weird. I'll tell you what I really liked about X-Men Legends 2 as well, Josh. Not just the fact that you could play with the villains as well. You know, you could actually add the villains to your roster. I enjoyed I remember finding out about Deadpool for the first time through that game, becoming instantly fascinated with this character who had two swords. Not only did he have two swords, which again was Nightcrawler's thing, he had two guns as well, which was like, oh my god, that's amazing. When you're nine, that's like the best thing ever. And then also collecting different bits of Iron Man's armor to then get Iron Man. That was a whole other thing entirely as well.
Ewan Patterson, like Meatloaf said, you've took the words right out of my mouth there, because that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, that second game, like, I was already, like, into the X-Men, obviously, but by that point, I'd play the first game to death, I'd play the second game to death, and I was kind of wanting something else. So when you got to play as Deadpool, when you got to collect all of the Iron Man armor and then play as these extra characters, it got me so excited for what was going to come next. And what was next, I've said that a lot there, was Ultimate Alliance, which brought in the wider, you know, heroes and stuff, and allowed those more diverse team-ups. But yeah, like, the secrets in those games and the way it encouraged you to replay levels and find out those secrets and piece things together, even right down to the different team members that you had in your party affecting the dialogue and stuff. I found that so fascinating.
The dialogue, the character-specific dialogue is great,
That blew my mind as a kid, in because I didn't know how to trigger those context-specific things because I hadn't really read the comics or whatever. I found myself, you know, experimenting and going back and swapping in and out characters who I thought would have a relationship with the other people in the scene to see if it triggered anything, and often it did, and I felt rewarded for, you know, my curiosity.
I remember doing that in Marvel Ultimate Alliance on the first sequence where, because I always used to be lazy and just cheat to get Daredevil, because obviously he's my boy, he's my favorite comic book character. And I just remember at the beginning, you know, you can actually, if you have Daredevil, he'll have a conversation with Bullseye. If you don't have Daredevil, but you have Elektra, another dialogue specific thing came in. And the other thing I kind of want to talk about before we end this discussion, you know, Marvel Ultimate Alliance had a comeback of sorts the other year, and you reviewed that game, didn't you, Josh?
I did.
It's, what did that game lack that these other ones did? And I think it comes down to the gameplay itself. I don't feel as though we talk about how X-Men Legends and Ultimate Alliance, the first few games, are kind of typecast as being button mashy dungeon crawlers. I feel as though that's the impression the new game got and tried to mimic a thing that wasn't a thing, and that's why it didn't feel as magic. Of course, it could just be nostalgia talking, I don't know, but that's kind of the one thing that I thought. And, you know, I feel as though there is a space for these older games to come back, but not in the way they did the other year.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. Like, I quite liked Ultimate Alliance 3. Mm. Like, I really enjoyed my time with it, but, like, I think it's telling that I actually did a chatty face entry on the original Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 and forgot the third one existed, even though I own it and have reviewed it. But it's entirely because of what you said. It was that kind of, it's what people thought the first games were. It was button mashing. You didn't really have to think much about, like, the combinations and stuff. And the story was well presented. The characters were still great. And, you know, it did have those moments where, if depending on who you chose to be in a scene, like, it would alter dialogue and stuff. But it was very much kind of, it was almost like dumbed down, like a dumbed down version. It didn't have that extra thing that the other games had, the extra bits of, like, you know, world building or trivia or secrets or anything like that. It was very much kind of like a straightforward rendition of Ultimate Alliance, which, again, like, it's definitely worth picking up, especially if it's cheaper now and you want that kind of experience. But it didn't, it didn't have that extra sense of kind of polish to it. And I wonder whether that's because obviously it's swapped developers, it's swapped platform and stuff like that. And it just kind of lacked that extra thing, which is a shame, because I don't think we'll get it back, because there's no chance Activision is going to let Raven make another one of these games.
Raven, High Moon, Beenox, all been consumed by the alien egg sack that is called the bit in Aliens when they find them, like, just like into the goop, and we're just there, like, they're just like, kill me, and we're just like, no, and then it's a shame. What I mean, you know, there were definitely pros and cons to Activision's tenure with the Marvel license, but I don't think anyone would have thought it would have ended the way it has done. You know, I feel so sorry for those developers and studios who probably saw that deal, you know, to be acquired by Activision as like a massive, you know, opportunity to continue doing what they were doing, and then to find themselves completely, you know, repurposed, whatever, is a massive shame. But yeah, I want to know what you all think of X-Men Legends 1 and 2 down in the comments below. Were they your favorites growing up as well? And do you think the X-Men are due a video game comeback? I do. And once you've done that, please also be sure to shout out suggestions for different comic video games you can cover in the future, because I'm really enjoying going through this, and we were kind of thinking maybe Ultimate Spider-Man soon, depending. I don't know. Once you've done that, please be sure to like, share, and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, and to head back on over to whatculture.com/gaming for more news, lists, articles, and discussions like this every single day. You can follow me on Twitter at YouAndRuinsThings, where I'll talk about X-Men Evolution being the best X-Men thing ever, and you can follow Josh on Twitter at
Josh Broom with two O's, where I will be talking about Ultimate Alliance being perhaps the best Spider-Man game ever made. I'm going to throw that out there right now.
Whoa, that was... Jeez, that was the Captain America shield throw where it goes wank. That's just hit me in the face right there. But yeah, that's all, everyone. Goodbye.
See ya.
Goodbye. Disassemble. To me, my sexy men.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.